Hello and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today my guest is Nicola Graham. She's an online coach and personal trainer. Hello Nicola, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So Nicola, tell everyone a little bit about how you got into personal training and why you switched over to online coaching.
So I got into personal training about 7 years ago. I've always been massively into fitness, like it's been my passion since school. But I left school and progressed in like in a corporate job, you know, really quickly and just stayed in that for the money. But I think, you know, at some point I just thought, right, it's got to be now or never. Before I start a family and stuff, I need to make the break and follow my passion. So I've obviously never looked back. I done my personal training qualifications on the side of my job. So I just used to travel to Manchester every weekend once a month and then just done it, like studied from home. So I think it took about 6 months. And then I just took a massive leap of faith and just left my very well-paid job, gave back the company car and all like the bells and whistles that came with it and just went for it.
It's very, very like Brad's story, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, maybe.
And then how did you decide to start going online, or did you always do that?
No, I've always been really skeptical about online training, if I'm honest, because in my years as a coach, I've also had online coaches and I haven't always had the best, I want to say service, that's what it felt like at the time, but just, you know, I think I've had two online coaches and then I've had numerous personal trainers in that period of time as well, mostly because I've wanted to learn things from different people in terms of the one-to-one coaches that I've had. But online training, I just found that there was no personality behind it at all. It's clear to me now looking back, I just got given a generic plan. I got put on really low calories and none of my lifestyle was factored in, or, you know, there was no touching base with your coach or anything like that. It was just maybe a one-word answer on an email. That was like check-in kind of thing. So yeah, I was always skeptical about it. And then I suppose as I was getting a little bit busier in my business as a personal trainer, and since I become a mom, it really was the only way for me to take some certain people on board, was to say, right, okay, well, we'll have to do it, you know, from an online perspective. And it's just grown from then. So it kind of had just organically grown. It wasn't like an overnight decision that I made. But now it's currently what I'm doing sort of like full time. I've actually stepped away from the gym floor at the moment. Okay.
It's the only way of scaling really is to go online or something. You run out of hours in the day to do one-to-one PT, especially when you have a busy life. And that's kind of the problem with trying to sell online training or personal training, is you have the likes of the people, let's say you got, or else then you have someone like our coach who does an amazing job and convinces you to do what we're doing now. Whereas you could get a coach like that, which you had before, and it just completely puts you off the idea. You feel like you're ripping people off when you see what they're doing, and you don't realize the value that you can actually put into a service like that. Which I think is very dependent on the person. And with, as far as your niche goes, yours would be a very big contrast to my own. Like most of my clients are men, people who are working professionals, quite a busy life, but you know, nothing physically stopping them from training. Whereas with you, it'd be mothers or people planning on having children, that kind of a busy life. How does programming for someone like that differ?
Yeah, I think without stereotyping, I think sometimes the major difference is that women consider themselves last. And I'm not saying that men don't, but obviously for my client base, if you are the mum and you're also working and you've got house run and all the rest of it, you know, exercising and all that kind of thing, it just knocks down the list of priorities. And it's funny because whenever I do a consultation call or a discovery call, people can always remember that feeling that they get from working out, and yet still they don't afford themselves the time.
I know what you mean. So like they see the value in working out, but then they're like, they don't prioritize it as high as looking after someone else. And that definitely isn't something I see with men, I must say.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's, you have different roles, don't you, I suppose, within the household. And I suppose it is an old school mentality. And, you know, like, obviously my household's not like that because this is my profession. So it's really important for me to get to the gym and work out. And I understand the importance of it for my mentality. So even if I just get 45 minutes, I'm much more productive in my job. I'm a better wife. I'm a better mum. You know, I'm in a better mood generally. But I think, like, getting that across to my clients is probably the starting point.
Yeah, it's like the kind of analogy people use of, you know, when you're on an airplane, when, like, if there's a crash, they always say, put on your own air mask before helping others. So you should always kind of, if you're not 100% yourself, you can't give 100% to other people, which I completely agree with that. But I think the thing, even from a biological standpoint between men and women, women are always more focused on other people, whereas men in general, I know I'm generalizing, but there obviously is exceptions, but men get a lot more obsessed with things or with, like, sports or not so much people.
It's crazy because the amount of women I speak to who've just got major phobia of going into a gym, and especially going into the men's section, because they worry what other people are thinking. And I always say to them, like, listen, you've got to understand, most of them men are only worrying about themselves. You think they're looking at you. They haven't even noticed you. Like, let's be honest, that's in your head. And that's another big thing. Yeah, so you're definitely right there. I think that's a big difference between men and women, is that we worry what other people think, and, you know, are we doing this right? Is somebody going to be looking at us? Or, and that actually stops a lot of women in their tracks even entering the gym floor, because the fear of being judged or not doing something correctly, you know, that before they've even got into the gym, that's just...
Yeah, and especially as well, a lot of men who go to the gym, to the weights area, you see the ones with the stringers and stuff, they're there because they're insecure about something, you know? They're not there because they're perfectly happy with themselves most of the time.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's... But that is, like, you know, I spoke to you, like, before we started recording quickly about why I suppose I naturally moved into the online space, is because I found that more and more I was giving people... not emotional support, but more strategies to overcome stress, anxiety, fear of the gym, you know, and all that kind of thing. And actually, the exercising, once you're in the gym and you're happy and you've got your plan, the exercising is the easy part. I mean, some online clients, I'm really lucky because they live not too far from where I live, or, you know, we've only got to travel half an hour to see each other or whatever. So I do still do the odd couple of one-to-one sessions if one of my clients wants to go through something like form, technique. Maybe they want to, you know, just...
Yeah, even putting together, like, technique workshops is a great idea for online training, because you can kind of... Yeah. You can iron out any kinks that you know that they have, any issues they have. If you see, like, they're sending videos and they can't get it right, you can be like, okay, we need to sort that out, you know, before you move on.
Yeah, I think that was one of my biggest hesitations moving into online, is that as a coach one-to-one, I'm so particular about form, technique, like breathing, everything, core control, that I got fearful that people would be going into the gym with my program and injuring themselves and, you know, not doing it properly and all the rest of it. But I suppose there's got to be a line where you've got to just let people be responsible. So yeah, that's definitely something that I do in my Facebook group with my clients, is, you know, we upload any videos on form, technique, Q&A, anything like that. So,
and that's the thing as well, I guess the only reason you have time to do all those things, like videos for form and making all this scalable content, is because you're doing online. Whereas if you were spending 8 hours, 12 hours a day in the gym training people, you don't have that luxury of time to put together the mass content, you know, the things that help the majority of people.
Of course. And I think when you are doing 8 or 12 hours in the gym, it's really easy for people to look and think, okay, so she finishes at 5, for example, and that's day done. But you'll know yourself as a personal trainer, you'll leave work and you'll have notes to follow up from your sessions that day, You'll have messages that have been coming through all day from maybe other clients or inquiries or whatever. So the work that you do outside of the gym sometimes almost matches the amount of time you spend on the gym floor. So
yeah,
you never actually really get round to doing all of that other stuff that actually, yeah, as you say, can reach so many more people.
And then if you're not getting all the messages and you're not busy all day, you have to spend as much time looking for people to train, you know, trying to sell yourself.
So. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So when training someone, like let's say postnatal or around pregnancy, does your training style change much compared to just a woman who isn't around pregnancy time, or how does that look?
Yeah, so I mean, it obviously definitely changes. You know, you've got to be super cautious of, you know, not raising your heart rate too much and things like that for anybody who's pregnant. And then obviously postnatally, there's a lot to consider. You know, what type of birth did they have? You know, has the doctor even signed them off to come back to exercise? What were they doing beforehand? Did they train during pregnancy? And I think there's other little things to consider as well. Like your lifestyle massively changes once you've had a child. And I mean, I can only speak from my experience, but I know every new mum's experience is different. Like I've got some ladies who I train at the moment who are suffering from postnatal depression. So exercise for them is really, it's been almost prescribed by the doctor for, you know, to help them overcome that.
Yeah.
So for them, really, it's just about, you know, we might start as simple as tracking steps and really increasing step count and making sure that they attempt to get outside into the fresh air on a daily basis, you know, things like that. So it's as little or as much based on the individual, really.
Yeah.
But definitely it's good to see that there are more and more women training during pregnancy and, you know, returning safely afterwards. Like, I think a couple of years ago, it was so frowned upon if you've seen a pregnant woman in the gym. Whereas now, like, I've got friends who were like still in the squat rack at 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, I think
I wasn't personally. I didn't feel up to it. I stopped about 7.5 months and just tracked steps. But
okay,
I did train quite intensely up until then. Like, so
that's good. That's good to hear, because I don't think, it's from what I know of it, I'm definitely not an expert on the space, and I definitely want to bring up my competence in that space before training heavily pregnant women. But before, like, would you recommend for a woman who hasn't trained before to start training in the early stages of pregnancy if they wanted to, or would you recommend to wait till after?
I mean, this seems to be actually a big talking point at the moment, because I also, again, I get a lot of clients, or, you know, prospective clients speaking to me about the fact that, okay, I want to, you know, I want to look to start a family in the next 6 months, or, you know, whatever. I've never trained before, but I want to be in a good position when I get pregnant. And that seems to be quite common with women who've not really had to probably consider training or anything to keep in shape. But then all of a sudden, the thought of becoming pregnant and losing control of your body makes you want to get into the gym. You know, same as yourself, I'm not an expert on it, but there are certain, I suppose it's safe to start exercise at any point. However, it would be really basic. Would be really basic exercise. And, you know, just, I mean, real old school, like, you know, just...
You'd have to hear... You'd have to err much more on the side of caution, I suppose, anyways. But that goes without saying, though.
Yeah, and... I mean, there's a lot of other things to factor in as well when you've got someone who's pregnant. So you have a hormone present in your body, a relaxant hormone. So you can feel a lot more mobile in the gym during a session. Obviously, the muscles around your like pelvic area and everything, they start to relax during pregnancy, ready for, you know, for your body to deliver a child. Yeah, so that makes you feel like, you know, you can lunge, squat, and get into all of these crazy positions. But actually, it can be harmful. And then it can, you know, like, so my thing, if I'm ever training anyone who's pregnant, is we take it really easy on the first session, and then we just see what the recovery is like, and we just go from there, really. Obviously, if they've got training history with me, and they've trained with me prior to being pregnant, then that's an easy one. I just know how to scale it back.
Yeah, that's it. So it's definitely more beneficial to have already known the client and how far they can push themselves beforehand before moving on.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. What would be what you would call the kind of point that made you decide to go into personal training rather than staying in the job you were in and not just having personal training as like or training yourself as like a hobby? What made you decide to like make it a career?
Honestly, like, it was something that I would constantly like talk about, and I'd always say, oh, you know, when I do it. But like, as I say, I progressed really well in my job. I was really well paid, and it was, you know, all of the other things that you just get comfortable with. And I, you know, honestly, and I owe him a massive thank you. I got a new boss, and everything just changed at the company that I worked, and it just made me think, okay, it's now or never. Like, I'd done a lot of traveling for my job. And so again, I suppose another element was thinking of starting a family. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do the job that I was doing if I was pregnant, or I wouldn't have wanted to. And so, yeah, I just remember sitting at home and just thinking, do you know what? I'm just going to call this training academy and see where we go from there. And I just booked myself on a course about a month later, and I just done it. And because I'd done it alongside my job as well, it didn't actually interfere with work, and it just, yeah.
And then once you got the cert, it was just a matter of taking the leap, I guess.
I think once I started... on the course, I was mentally preparing myself to leave work. Like, I think it's the same, isn't it? Whenever you know you're going to be leaving somewhere, you start to wind down. So although I was still enjoying my job, and I was in it for 6 months after, you know, starting the course, I always knew I was going to leave. Yeah. So
you had already kind of made the decision in your head.
I think because I'm so, honestly, so passionate about this industry, and because I've always been so sporty, I was more excited. I wasn't even really nervous. I look back now and I can't believe that I've done that. Yeah. Because I don't know if the position I'm in now as a mum and stuff, I don't know if I would be so, you know,
able to take the risk, kind of.
Yeah. I just went for it. I just absolutely went for it. And I mean, you'll know yourself. You start work at 6 a.m. and sometimes you don't get home till like 8:30 p.m. And I just worked really, really hard. And honestly, inside of a month, I was, you know, I built a good client base.
Yeah, that's great.
I was lucky as well. Like, it just really worked out well.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I'm kind of the same way. Looking back on moving to London, I think 5 months ago. Literally came over here, stay in the hostel, and now I'm thinking, like, geez, would I like to just take a leap and live in a hostel for a week before finding a house, no job, no nothing? Just, but yeah, I wasn't leaving much either, I guess.
I didn't even realize you'd done that.
Yeah, that's how I ended up over here. We just literally moved over, booked a hostel for like 5 days, and then ended up finding a place and found the gym kind of working. So bit crazy. On that, what would be your one piece of advice to your 20-year-old self? It's a question I ask kind of everyone that comes on, because I haven't met anyone younger than me yet on the podcast. So,
do you know what? I was instantly going to say then that my biggest piece of advice would be to have taken the leap sooner. Although I think my business acumen that I sort of learned on my corporate job went in my favor, so I don't know. I suppose it'd just be to have more self-confidence and worry less about what other people think. And that's not even relating to personal training or this industry, that's just generally just worry less what everyone else thinks, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
just go for it. And you know, yeah, I think I was quite lucky, because obviously that was 16 years ago, so the pressures of social media and all that kind of thing wasn't, you know, it wasn't as big as it is now.
Yeah, that's something I hear a lot of people talk about. They're like, oh, back in whatever, 10, 15 years ago, you just compared yourself to the people that live near you. Now it's like, we've grown up with social media, so we don't really know any different. We don't know our next door neighbor because we know everyone online.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's, I couldn't even imagine it now. Like, but yeah, I think that's probably always going to be the advice that you would give your younger self, though, is to just worry less about other people. I really admire people of any age, but especially like the younger generation who don't worry about what other people think, who just go for it. And we just are, you know, them, or they just are their authentic self.
Yeah, no, it definitely is getting more and more difficult to do that, especially when people are having less and less real problems, that the problem of what other people think is becoming kind of a bigger thing. Yeah. You know, no one's starving.
Yeah. And I think like pulling it back to sort of like what my client base is that it's, I suppose you reach an age when, like, so obviously when you're younger and, you know, you're comparing yourself to others, it's very much on a physical level. And I think, you know, at some point you do get a bit older and you realise that's not the reality of it. And that, you know, we've all got our insecurities and things like that. And it's just looking after your mental wellness is just as important as how you look physically. Like, there's so many people killing themselves to look a certain way because of what they've seen on Instagram. And, you know, they're damaging their mental health and they're making themselves unhappy in the process trying to do that. And so for me, really, it's like a lot of the work I do with my clients is building up just self-confidence.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is down to the way you perceive yourself anyway. Like, I've been super skinny. I've done all the diets. I've done all different types of training over the years. And I'd probably say 50% of the time it was just to fit into a certain category or mold. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't to overall. Well, a lot of people think when they get to a certain body fat percentage or they get to a certain size, they'll be happy. But it's like, I'll be happy when, but when never comes, kind of way, you know?
Yeah.
So to kind of piggyback on that question, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time? What do you see yourself doing?
I would like to think in 10 years' time, I will have built a really good, solid community. And obviously be hugely successful online coach. Yeah. I'd like to think I'll have more children. So I need to factor that into the next 10 years. the next couple of years. So how that will look, I suppose, being a mum. And I think as I grow as a mum and as my family grows, I think that's even more so the direction that my business will take. You know, helping other mums and helping other women. Yeah, I can't see myself ever getting out of this industry.
No, that's great. And kind of the next thing I'll go on to, what would your like own current nutrition and training look like at the moment? And has that changed since having children, or how does that look?
So at this moment, it is the 17th of December. So do you really want to know about my nutrition? No, I'm joking. I've not been having it. Honestly, I'm actually really aware of the foods that I put into my body. So I live by the 80-20 rule, and I have done for years. Like, as I say, obviously when I've dabbled with online trainers and stuff like that, I tried their methods in terms of eating and following plans and stuff. But for me, I enjoy cooking. I enjoy the social aspect of like meal times and stuff. So I just live a very healthy, balanced life, I would like to say. And I always have done. So I suppose to a degree, people would say I'm lucky, because it's almost like instilled in me now. It's second nature. A lot of what I'm interested in is the effects that certain foods have on the body. So certain things, you know, like convenience food and things like that, I just don't eat anyway, because
yeah,
I'm just aware of all that kind of stuff.
I luckily never got in that habit either. So, but that's what it is, the habit for a lot of people. I said, I luckily never got in that habit either.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously having a child as well, I'm even more so aware now of what I want her eating habits to be like. So, you know, in terms of like how we eat as a family and things like that. It's always all very fresh. I do track calories on and off, although obviously I've got a pretty good understanding of what a good day would look like for me anyway. And in terms of training, you know what, if I'm completely honest? So I had an umbilical hernia post-pregnancy, which was operated on in the summer. And then I got a really bad hip injury. So for me, the last sort of like couple of months, I was doing like, I was kind of doing, I suppose, like bodybuilding split style training at the time, just trying to build a little bit of strength back up. I'm not actually sure that really agrees with me. And so right now I'm just doing a little bit of what I enjoy, which is circuit-based training. I like to mix cardio, weights. I obviously advocate weights massively, but I'm not hung up on, you know, hitting PBs and all that kind of thing.
It's push-pull legs kind of split, yeah. No, I used to be the biggest advocate for push-pull legs or bro split, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, as the years have gone on, I've gone so far away from that because it's so tedious and boring. And for the majority of people, they just want to get in and out fast, get the job done. Most people don't enjoy the actual spending 2 hours in the gym aspect of it that you get from bodybuilding.
It was like I was actually following a program that had been set out, and it was a fantastic program, and I could see my body starting to change shape. However, it was taking me 2 hours to do a session, and then I was expected to do cardio on top of that, and that just doesn't, I can't do that anymore. For one, I don't have that amount of time. I don't like allow myself the luxury of that much time. Maybe like when I was in my 20s, yeah, but not now. And yeah,
it's not sustainable.
I just like to feel physically fit.
Yeah.
I like to be able to move. I don't want to wake up with any major aches and pains. You know, I just like to be fit and active. So yeah.
Very good. Yeah, it's more about how you feel rather than when I find a lot of people, they get a lot happier and start enjoying the training a lot more when they put the emphasis on how they feel and how they perform rather than how they look and their body fat percentage as such. So I spend a lot of my time trying to convince people not to focus on them sort of numbers rather pick something that they want to get good at or try and work on their health rather than like, how do I look good for the night out and then eat 10 pizzas on the weekend, you know?
I think something I always ask clients as well, especially clients who, you know, are maybe like 30 plus, I ask them if they've, you know, the goal that they are looking to achieve, have they ever had a moment in time when they've been at that certain weight or size? Or because sometimes what you set as a goal for yourself is not realistic for you in terms of like the way you're saying, like about body fat percentage or weight or whatever. I mean, if you've been there and you know what it takes to get there and you remember that feeling of being a certain, you know, in a certain shape, then yes, fair enough. But I think sometimes people, yeah, as you say, they just get hung up on numbers and forget about, I suppose, like one, enjoying it, and also just like the healthy lifestyle side of it.
Yeah, exactly. People get too caught up with the numbers, and that comes back to social media, I guess. So the next thing I kind of want to ask you was with podcasts, what would be your favorite podcast at the moment? I know that you don't have your own, so yet.
No, I don't have my own yet. I obviously love to listen to the Fitness Coach Freedom podcast and Chris Beaman, Shredded Science. I love Muscle Fitness UK, Fitness Executive, I think his podcast is called. I've also just recently started listening to Ben Pakulski again. Do you know what? I've listened to him on and off for maybe the last 12 months, but I love driving because it just means that I get to like listen to something.
That's the biggest thing I miss from home. So like coming over to London, I was saying this to Brad the other day, that when I used to drive, I'd be listening to podcasts constantly or like listening to books. Whereas now, when you're on the train, you start like looking at Instagram or something because your hands aren't occupied. Where even if you're listening to something, you just still get distracted and you're like, oh, where did the last 10 minutes go?
Do you know what I would recommend as well? And I've recommended this even for clients, so not even for like fitness, you know, fitness professionals. Craig Ballantyne, Early to Rise Radio.
Yeah.
That guy is just so motivated. It lifts you up when you listen to him.
Well, and obviously, look at that.
I've listened to Gary Vee.
Yeah.
In small doses, do you know what I mean?
They're actually, these are all people that I really enjoy listening to, but as far as their podcasts go, I'm like, there's like two podcasts I listen to every day, and I don't know, I just haven't got through all their episodes yet, and after that, I guess I'll probably move on to more people. But yeah, I listen to a good few of the Fitness Coach Freedom, Shred Out Science. I need to get back on Ben Pakulski, actually, especially after last week. So, then books-wise, what would be your top book, three books, whatever, if you can't pick one?
So same again, I don't really read books. I listen to them on Audible. Yeah. I like to think I would read books and I order them for myself and then they just collect dust. So having said that, I think one book that made a massive impact on my life, and I'm going back about maybe about 10 years, was The Secret. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, The Power of Positive Thinking. And I think that book had been recommended to me so many times before I actually got around to reading it. And I think you've got to be in the right mindset, I suppose. And, you know, when you read it, you've got to,
I think, as you said, it has to be one where you're in the right mindset. Like I believe all the stuff that it says, but I think they give examples that are like completely over the top. And
they talk
a lot about the mindset and like, the law of attraction in it, but they don't really put it's kind of like the law of attraction without action is the part they put in the book, but of course they expect you to know that bit yourself, kind of.
Yeah, I think some of it's hard to take on board, but I think the general message is just that positive thinking is just going to always be the better outcome, and that really resonated with me at that time when I read it. So I do have that next to my bedside, and sometimes I'll just reference it, and I'll just open it at any page. But then recently I have listened to Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone on Audible, which was really good. Again, he's just so passionate that it's hard not to get excited when you listen to his book.
Yeah.
And The Perfect Day Formula was a good one by Chris Ballantyne on Audible.
I haven't listened to either of those books, but one thing I find with Audible is if the author reads it, I'm a lot more likely to actually listen to it.
Oh, absolutely! I could not. I've downloaded books before that weren't read by the author, and I just can't get into it.
Yeah.
Did you get Erroneous Zones recommended by Ben Pakulski?
No.
Oh, David, it's fantastic. It's so good, and it's such a good book to recommend to your clients. I recommend it to every single one of my clients, and they've all been posting in our group this week, you know, listening to it on the way to work and, you know, at home while they're doing the cooking and all the rest of it. It's only about an hour, maybe an hour and 20 minutes long, so it's not like it's not long to listen to at all.
It's a really short book, so.
Yeah, and again, it's more so about mindset. And I suppose about the way you speak to yourself and the way you think of yourself and the words you put out about yourself. And it's very, I think it's a good book for absolutely anybody. But yeah, I think for my clients, definitely it was.
I'll definitely have to give that one a listen, because that's like the third time I've been recommended that. Brad recommended it the other day. I think it was the one he was reading for the second time. And yeah, I do need to download that. I'll do that straight after this. The last audiobook I listened to was about 23 hours long. So I just kind of gave up on it.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember what it was. That's bad saying that. It'll come to me. It'll come to me. So one other question I kind of tie in with this one is, three people dead or alive that you could have a conversation with, who would they be?
Do they have to be famous?
No, can be any. Some strange answers to this one. So,
tough question. This is a really tough question. One would be my granddad. He's passed away, but he was a legend. And then, I don't know. I feel like I'd have to get back to you on that one.
Yeah, that's kind of whenever I get asked it, I'm like,
you know why? Because I don't, if I'm completely honest, I feel like it'd be a really boring answer because there's no one I really have on a pedestal of celebrity status.
Yeah.
Really. And I suppose even in the fitness world, honestly, my the first two people I thought of was my granddad and my brother, both just like super intellectual, really just, yeah, legendary people. My brother lives in the US, so we don't get to speak to him that often.
Okay.
And I suppose actually one person in the fitness space would be, I only know her as an Instagram handle, and that's Fit Girl Mel. And she has become like a celebrity trainer overnight. She was seen to be training one of the Kardashians, actually.
Okay.
And now she's like this huge celebrity trainer. But she's, if you look at her profile and you look at the way she's turned her life around and how she's transformed her body since having children and things like that, she's incredible. And okay. I would love to tap into that.
Yeah. Mine are always quite strange. I think mine are anything to do with fitness, to be honest. The last ones I got were off Brad. He said Viktor Frankl and Hitler, who are like, I don't know if you know Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. He was in a concentration camp, basically. So that'll be a bit of a strange one. So just what would be your one piece of advice for anyone looking to get into the gym? Last question.
Into the gym as in?
Starting kind of a fitness journey. And, you know, a lot of people have, because it's coming into January, people are like, oh, I'll wait till January to start. And then January comes around and life gets in the way. What would be your advice to a person looking to just get started, but finding any excuse to not?
Okay, so if it was somebody who was finding any excuse to not, I would say choose wisely, but invest in a coach. And I know I say that, me being a coach, but then, you know, as I've already said to you earlier in the interview, like I've worked with a lot of coaches myself and I've learned so much. And I just think in terms of the accountability and in terms of what you learn along the way, and also as well, you know, it is easy to only push yourself to a certain level, and a coach will always get more out of you. And I think, yeah, I think that would probably be, if it was somebody who was new to the gym and struggling to get motivated, hiring a coach would probably be my number one piece of advice. If you weren't ready to make that investment yet, then it would be going back to what we said earlier. Just maybe lose your inhibitions a little bit.
Yeah. One thing I'll say just to piggyback on that is getting a coach. Like, you can do anything you want without a coach, but getting a coach just like gives you back an unbelievable amount of time. Like, if you don't have a coach, you can get into the best shape ever by yourself, but it's probably going to take 10 times as long, especially if you're not well read on the subjects of training, nutrition. And that's why getting a coach, not only does it help you learn all the information that you need to know a lot quicker, it also keeps you accountable, which is something that you can't get from any amount of books or YouTube videos. So just a point on that, not trying to sell, but you know.
No, I think as well, like, and particularly if you have got a family or you've got a really busy job, or, you know, even if you've just not got that support network of any kind, even, you know, with your friends or whatever, having a coach, that's the person that you get to speak to about you. And you'll know yourself being in the position as a coach. Like, that's why even as a PT, I always had a PT. And that was because I invest all my time in looking after everybody else's training and worrying about their nutrition and all the rest of it. I needed someone to speak to about me and someone to listen to my, you know, maybe my current struggles or whatever, my goals or whatever. And I just think it's underrated, actually, isn't it, as an investment. But it's, I think the first trainer I ever got, I felt like I was in good shape, knew what I was doing, but I was getting married and I just wanted to step it up. And it was a game changer. It really, really was a game changer.
That's it. You don't realize how far you kind of can push yourself until someone else pushes you, you know. It's the same with anything, with like business, having a business coach that we both have. The amount you can get done in the time, you would have never thought you could even do it without having someone keeping you accountable and kind of you know, you don't even know where to go at the start without someone kind of giving you that first kind of push.
So of course.
That's where coaching comes in, I guess. So thanks very much, Nicola. That was great. Learned a lot myself. I'm sure a lot of people get value from this. Just tell everyone where to find you on social media, and everything will be linked down below anyways.
I am on social media, and I am Nicola Graham Fitness.
That's on Instagram.
Facebook.
No podcast yet. But there will be.
Not yet. But yeah, Instagram is probably the best place to find me at the moment.
Yeah, so Nicola Graham Fitness, and that'll be linked below. I'll link up your Facebook as well. I seen you started a business Facebook today, I think, was it?
Yeah, I've currently got three different Facebook groups, but yeah, I have a closed members group. I have my business page, and then I've got my personal account, which also features lots of my fitness stuff, but also pictures of my daughter.
Yeah, perfect. I'll link up whichever one you like anyways. Thanks very much again, Nicola. This was great.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, David.